A big factor in U.S. calculations about a potential invasion is, of course, the strength of Iraq's military. A report out this week from the Center for Strategic and International Studies predicts that a U.S. invasion would almost certainly succeed in ousting Saddam Hussein, but it warns that there could be tragic consequences. In the worst-case scenario, a nuclear war. Anthony Cordesman is author of the report. He says U.S. war planners would be wise to take Iraq's military capabilities seriously.
This is a force of roughly 500,000 men. It has well over 2,000 tanks, well over 2,500 artillery weapons, 23 divisions, and out of those, at least 12 represent a significant heavy force. So its conventional capabilities are very real, and they're backed by 120,000 paramilitary security and intelligence people who surround Saddam and support his power structure. A sheer mass of that type is a major threat and not something the U.S. can deal with casually.
Anthony Cordesman, the whole question seems to be over whether or not Iraq is prepared or capable of obtaining nuclear weapons. What have you been able to learn about that?
Well, first, let me say I categorically disagree with that. I think that almost all of the people in the intelligence community don't look at the nuclear threat as the immediate issue. There is no evidence of any significant Iraqi ability to produce and enrich fissile material. And this is the key. Without smuggled nuclear materials, it's chemical and biological weapons, not nuclear weapons, which are the most immediate threat. Because we know those weapons are in Iraqi hands, and we know that they are probably in Iraqi hands in considerable numbers.
Well, is there any reason to think Iraq is in any better shape now than it was at the end of the Gulf War? I mean, what has changed?
A number of things have changed. One, at the end of the Gulf War, it had actually prepared its chemical and biological weapons, not for the Gulf War, but to carry out an unlimited chemical and biological campaign against Iran. It had the stockpiles and the numbers simply because it had defeated Iran in the middle of 1988. The other threat, and the most serious one, is biological. Now, one thing that deeply concerns U.S. intelligence experts is that Iraq was one of the last countries to have smallpox outbreaks and may well have secret smallpox cultures. Another key issue is that in 1991 it had very crude biological weapons and missile warheads, and it used wet agents, which are not particularly lethal and very hard to disseminate. But we do know that they were working on dry, storable biological weapons and on grinding these into micropowders. And the difference is an immense one because wet agents are of only moderate lethality, and if they have dry, storable biological weapons, these have roughly the same lethality as theater nuclear weapons.
And your report presumes that they have the means to deliver these, especially to nearby American troops.
It does say we have the ability to, or they have the ability in terms of drones or one-way aircraft missions and some remaining missiles to do this. But there's an important caveat here. The exact way in which you weaponize biological and chemical weapons is absolutely critical. It is so critical that you can take an agent, which in theory is extremely lethal, put it on a missile, fire the system, and basically it will destroy itself as it re-enters the Earth's atmosphere under the impact of the missile hitting the ground. And yet, if you are using a more modern dissemination system, then you can get extremely higher types of lethality. And the great problem is we have no way to know what they have done by way of weaponization. And until there is an actual war, the true nature of Iraq's lethality is simply unpredictable.
Well, Anthony Cordesman, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Anthony Cordesman is a senior fellow at the Center for Strategic and International Studies.